Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin Price of VolQuest.com. He joins us every Monday and Friday with the headlines from the Tennessee Volunteers programs, and a lot to discuss from this weekend at the Orange and White game. Austin, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys, and that's great news, and my thoughts and prayers are out to those families affected through all the Waffle House stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Austin, when you we kind of recap the Orange and White game from Saturday, what was the biggest positive development you saw on field on Saturday for this team?
The fullback, man. Tennessee fans are jacked. They haven't seen a fullback so long, they weren't sure what to think. I talked to several people that were at the game that were buddies of mine, that were fans, talked to, you know, parents, talked to just different people around the program, and, you know, they were just really excited that Tennessee was using the fullback, getting under center. And it's not everything, and it's not like they're anti-spread. There's still spread elements to this offense. But to know that they can, you know, put a fullback and use Austin Pope in that way. Austin Pope's a phenomenal athlete. He was an unbelievable receiver his first couple of years at Sevier County, and then bulked up, transferred to CAK, and was a great linebacker and tight end there. If he can continue to put on weight, he can really be a factor for this team. It's kind of an X factor, catching the ball out of the backfield, just doing different things from that spot, using him kind of that H-back role. But to me, it's the fullback. I think that's the biggest takeaway I had from Saturday is Tennessee's ability to get under center, get north-south when need be. And I thought Tim Jordan was a really, had a really nice spring game Saturday.
You know, Tennessee's offensive line, with all the talk about them and how thin they were, I thought they ended up playing pretty well on Saturday. What was your take on the offensive line play?
I did. I thought Marcus Tatum had a little bit of a struggle on Saturday. But you're right. I was really impressed with Jerome Carvin. The true freshman, midterm enrollee from Cordova. For him to go in there and start at guard with the ones and go against the ones defense, I thought he held his own. I mean, was he perfect? No. I mean, can he still be in better shape? There's no doubt. But I thought he really had a solid day on Saturday. And that's a huge springboard to the fall, because if you can get back to the linemen that we've talked about before, Trey Smith, and I thought Kayron Calvert being able to go every rep with the twos was huge. And then get Chance Hall back and have him be a workable piece to the offensive line. Then all of a sudden the offensive line not nearly as decimated and thin as it was this spring or was last fall.
Yeah, and we had this discussion earlier, Austin, about the post-game comments from Jeremy Pruitt and the brutal honesty in assessing his team, saying some guys quit, but also in comparing that to the fan base and not maybe having the turnout that he hoped for that game. What did you make of the totality of his comments about his team, but also tying in the fan base to that?
I thought that's what Jeremy Pruitt's going to be. He's a straight shooter. And I don't think the fan comments were as bad as maybe as he intended them to be. I think they were more misinterpreted to a degree. I mean, there's no doubt in his mind, he thought it was going to be a little bigger crowd than maybe that had showed up. But, I mean, the fifth largest crowd in Tennessee history for a spring game. It was a really good turnout by the fans. I mean, I'm surprised. I told you guys last week, I thought 50, and even if you feel like they inflated the numbers a little bit, I thought 50 was the top end. You know, I didn't think that they would, I thought it would be somewhere around 40. And Tennessee clearly had more than 40 there. So I thought it was a solid turnout for the spring game. But that's just who Jeremy Pruitt's going to be. He's a straight shooter. He's going to tell Juwan Jennings what he thinks. He's going to tell Jared Garantano what he thinks. He's going to tell the fans and his coaching staff what he thinks. That's just who he is. And it's going to be a different approach than what Butch Jones had. And I think some Tennessee fans are totally just all in with that mantra and mindset. And other ones are going to have to—they're going to have to learn him a little bit better, because they hear the "Ike" and that Alabama drawl, but they don't—they're not used to that. It's almost like a northern bluntness to him. I mean, he is very direct, and But for the most part, I think fans are totally on board behind Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, and you clearly have a group of players, some of which are more ready for a Jeremy Pruitt style and to work that hard, and other players who maybe think they're working hard, but after the game they're getting told they quit and they don't understand why. My question is this. Of the holdovers from the Butch Jones era there in Knoxville, are there enough Jeremy Pruitt guys, quote-unquote, that will understand the system, that will work the way he demands, and that will compete at the level he demands to where they can have some immediate success, whether that be 6-6, 7-5, win a game you shouldn't? Do they have enough of his type of guys to do that?
We'll find out. The best thing I can tell you is if there are guys that don't buy in, they won't play, and he'll move on quickly to other players, and so that's why I think he was quick to tell, you know, Brent Hubbs after the game on the Vol Network broadcast, you know, we got guys coming in, we got guys coming back off injury. You know, it doesn't matter how many stars you had, how many games you started. Nobody's entitled here, and you're going to have to work to earn it. And so I think it's pretty clear that if you don't come to work and bring that lunch pail and the hard hat every day, then you're going to be over there watching on the sideline. And I think that's just – he's going to build the culture from the ground up. And if that means that they're going to take some lumps with some younger guys because some of those older guys – are unwilling to buy in, and they throw up a roadblock to wanting to do it the way Jeremy Pruitt wants to do it, then so be it.
Austin Price with VolQuest.com joins us on the Midday 180 twice a week. Austin, the quarterback battle, it seems to be wide open after the spring is complete. Pruitt is looking for leadership, looking for the alphas to step up on this team. Did Garantano take a step in that direction this spring as one of the true leaders of this roster?
I think he's got natural leadership ability in him. I think he's always had it. I mean, you know, even going back to when Josh Dobbs was here and he was a redshirt freshman, he was talkative. He would try to lead vocally. And so he's always had that in him. You know, Saturday they had about a two-yard run. He was hoping for a touchdown. It didn't get called. You hear him say, "Oh, man, come on, he was in." And then he notices one of his teammates on the ground. He goes directly over to him, picks him up. I mean, that's who he is. I mean, that's how he's always been. Now, I'll say this, though. If you hear Jeremy Pruitt talk, you know, I thought going into spring, to use the golf analogy, you know, Jared Garantano had a one- or two-shot lead to start the final round over Keller Crist. I think he's still got a one-shot lead going to the back nine. He had a chance to build it, you know, to a 3-4-shot lead because he had spring and Keller didn't. But I don't know if he was able to do that. So, you know, he's going to have to be really good in August to beat Chris out. I mean, this is going to be a battle in August. And the biggest thing with Jarrett is just continue to get the ball out quicker. When he gets it out quick and he's seeing it well, he's really good. When he holds on to it a fraction too long, that's when things go bad, and that's what leads to sacks. He's not going to take turnovers. He's not going to force the ball. I mean, that's fairly evident. But Tennessee can't afford for him to take sacks either.
Yeah, there's a video of Daniel Batuli going off on the defense at one point on Saturday on the sideline, and he's not getting a big reaction from anyone on the sideline. It really jumped out to me, the reaction from the players, but also Batuli. Do you see him as a guy who's going to be a big leader for that defense?
Yeah, I do. I think that he knows he's been in the program for a few years, and he has got to really kind of establish himself as one of those guys at the linebacker spot. He's a fairly vocal guy. He's a smart guy. And they need players like that because, you know, as Jeremy Pruitt had talked about after the game, talked about on The Nation last night, you know, he's got to kind of be the leader until, you know, someone establishes themselves well enough to where they start policing themselves. And it takes Daniel Batuli doing that. It takes more players around him doing that. And everybody kind of holding each other accountable for that leadership to cultivate team-wide. And so I think it starts with a guy like Daniel Batuli and can fester itself, you know, throughout the rest of the defense and then into the offense. But Tennessee needs Daniel Batuli to be kind of a fiery leader. You're going to get that from a guy like Darrell Taylor. They need it from him at linebacker. Darren Kirkland, more reserved. They need Batuli to be more fiery.
Of the injured guys, who are you most interested in seeing return to this roster? Is it Juwan Jennings?
Yeah, Juwan and Trey Smith. I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, you just want Trey to be healthy, be good to go, be ready for fall. Because he's the most talented player on the roster. He's a special talent. He is just that good. And so you want him to come back ready to go, because you know if he's back, the offensive line gets a huge boost. And then Juwan Jennings. I mean, you know, he missed all of last year. You know, Jim Pruitt, to his comments to, you know, Greg McElroy, the SEC Network, and the people doing the broadcast, clearly pointed out how much Juwan has went above and beyond this spring, even though he was more reserved to talk about Juwan post-game. So, you know, I think it's Juwan Jennings, because if you can add him opposite of Marquez Callaway and then get a couple of these little slot guys to you know, turn into, you know, an X factor receiver, then the wide receiving core all of a sudden goes from, you know, thin and a lot of question marks to a little bit better.
Austin, if Vegas picked up the phone and called you and said, hey, we're looking to make a prop bet, where does Alante Taylor play this fall? How would you place the odds on positions?
Well, you clearly, by Jeremy Pruitt's comments after the game, know Alante has made it known he wants to play receiver. But Alante tweeted the picture last night of him at corner against Tyler Byrd. And when you just see him, he looks so natural, and he's so long, which is exactly what Pruitt wants. I think in Pruitt's mind, he wants him at corner, because he knows that if he buys in this summer, he could start from game one. I mean, they have no set corners. I mean, they had to get in Nick Harvey from Texas A&M this weekend. You know, but I mean, you know, Baylen Buchanan's, and he's okay. I mean, you know, outside of that, Sean Schamberger, you know, has got to clean up the attitude problems if he's ever going to be a real factor here. And so, you know, I think Alante makes more sense at corner. I really do. I think he could play both ways. I think he could play receiver at a high level. But I think his quickest path to the field and making an impact, if he buys in, is on the defensive side of the ball. And that's why I would lean defense at this point in time.
Let's talk recruiting impact as we wrap up. Give us three or four names that you felt like left with a solid impression of Rocky Top this weekend.
Well, we'll start with Ramel Keaton, the wide receiver from Marietta, Georgia. Got a couple of teammates, five-star 2020 tight end Eric Gilbert, who recently named Tennessee as leader, four-star quarterback Harrison Bailey, who, you know, likes Tennessee a lot, knows that there's a lot of, you know, a really open spot here with the quarterback position. He makes a lot of sense, and I think, you know, he's wanting to do something in May. I think Tennessee seems to be trending there. Former Vol Derek Tinsley is the running backs coach there at Marietta High School. As far as the official visitors, I think Tennessee did themselves some favors with a guy like Chris Bogle, defensive end from South Florida, Alabama, Miami. Two teams to watch in that recruitment. But he says he wants to come back again this summer or this fall. We'll see if he can get back up here. That's the risk of bringing in guys from Texas, South Florida, Minnesota on official visits, is, you know, you've paid their way this time. The next time they come back, they're having to do it on their own. That could be difficult. You know, elsewhere, Andrew Booth, cornerback out of the Atlanta area, Tennessee and Clemson, I think, are kind of the top two for Booth. Sees a great opportunity after talking to him yesterday. I mean, he made it clear he knows he could come in and be a real factor at corner for the same reasons I was saying about Alante, just a quicker path to the field, and he sees that here versus a team like Clemson or Georgia or one of these other schools that's heavily recruiting him. And then outside of that, you know, a guy like Sean Brown, tight end from down in Georgia, I think, you know, it's Tennessee or Auburn for him, and I think he'll do something on May 12th, and we'll see if Tennessee continues to trend well for Sean Brown.
What do you expect this summer to be like for Jeremy Pruitt? He hasn't done a lot of media, and rightfully so. He's been doing a lot with this team. But now that summer workouts are starting, do you expect him to be out front more? Does he go back into a cave and watch film? How do you think the summer is going to go now leading into the first season for Jeremy Pruitt as head coach?
I'm interested to see, Chad, how visible he is on the Big Orange Caravan. You know, how much do you see him mingling and interacting, and how, you know, out front he is? You know, Phillip's going to be on it, you know. And to this point, it's kind of been, I think, by design, Phillip's kind of been the face almost while Pruitt gets everything going. At some point, though, Pruitt, I would imagine, is going to want to become the face to the point where, you know, okay, not necessarily crazy about all these media availabilities, but, you know, it probably needs to be my voice that everybody's hearing, not Coach Fulmer's, even though Coach Fulmer's the athletic director. So I would lean to the fact that I'm interested to see how much he is out in front during the Big Orange Caravan. Outside of the caravan, I don't think you'll hear from him until SEC Media Days in July. I think he'll be very much back in the cave watching film. I think that's exactly what he'll be doing. That's pretty much what he said he was going to be doing last night on The Nation. But I do think he has a couple opportunities on the Big Orange Caravan to be out in front. Let's see how much he wants to do that over the next month and a half.
How was he on The Nation last night?
I thought, you know, we had him on to begin spring. We had him on to end spring. I thought he was much, you know, to start the interview, he almost sounded like we woke him up. but I thought he was, I think it was more reserved the first time around. I think it was much more, of course, if you listen to him, it's just Jeremy's natural demeanor. He's, you know, just laid back and doesn't throw a lot of energy and pop. But I thought he was a lot more forthcoming last night than maybe he was back a month ago.
You can hear that full interview right now at VolQuest.com. Austin, thank you as always, and we'll catch up with you later this week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Austin Price, VolQuest.com. Follow him on Twitter at Austin Priceless.
You got a lot of interesting players coming in this summer for Tennessee. London, the graduate transfer from Michigan State, the running back. Keller Christ, of course, is top on the list. J.J. Peterson, U.S. Army All-American, five-star linebacker, comes in this summer. There's going to be an infusion of some competition.
I'm watching Saturday. How do you take Ty Chandler off the field?
Yeah, he's just so solid. You know exactly what you're going to get with Ty Chandler. He's just a really good SEC running back.
They did this mashup on the broadcast.
I thought Tim Jordan was good, too. And I know that Austin mentioned that. I thought he was, and he is just the type of guy they're looking for. Bigger back and runs comfortably in between tackles, not afraid of contact.
They did this mashup on SEC Network of Madre London, and he's running in like 7 yard carries into the end zone. That's just a mashup of all of his touchdowns. And I'm thinking, okay, now let's go check out some big runs from Ty Chandler.
Yeah.
And compare the two.
Now I'll also say this. Tennessee's offensive line, as decimated as it's been, had a good day. Don't know if that's a good thing, though, considering they're going up against the three big defensive linemen for Tennessee that all spring you heard how improved they were. With Kyle Phillips, with Shy Tuttle, and Jonathan Kongbo.
You know, for the comments from Pruitt to say, you know, we had some players quit, as he does these individual exit interviews after spring to assess certain players, I hope he sits down with those guys and face-to-face, and I know he will.
Oh, yeah.
Says, you quit. Do you want to be here or not?
Well,
and starts weeding those guys out.
You know, Tennessee released some good videos leading up to Orange and White game as sort of a promotion to get people to come out for the game. And the first time they actually had audio of Jeremy Pruitt mic'd up on the practice field. And repeatedly he was telling guys, he said, you're not competing. I'm not going to coach you if you're not competing. You can leave. He said, I refuse to coach guys who won't compete. Just as calm as can be.
I love that.
But he's saying that to a lot of guys in the field. He's like, I can coach you if you compete. I'm not going to coach guys who are out here to not compete. It sounds simple, but the simple things have been difficult at Tennessee over the last 10 years with different coaches. Jeremy Pruitt brings a simplicity to this job that I think is refreshing and needed in that locker room. Guys want to know where to be in position to be successful, and Jeremy Pruitt's going to help them with that. And the return is, you better play your butt off for Jeremy Pruitt at all times. And if you slack at any moment, you're in the doghouse and you may not get out.